أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، خالق السماوات والأرضين. الحمد لله الذي بعث أنبياءه بالحق والهدى ثم ختمهم بحبيبه المصطفى. الحمد لله الذي جعل إكمال دينه وإتمام نعمته بولاية المرتضى. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله رب العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. محترم قبلة حجة الإسلام والمسلمين شيخ شبيري صاحب، my elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On a night like this, we start our talks and discussions with giving our condolences to the master of our age, Imam al-Hujjah alayhi salam, and to his holy forefathers and to the Prophet for the demise of Sayyida Khadija salamu alayha. We find that in the history of Islam, or in the history of mankind, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, have said that only four ladies reached perfection. Or according to another hadith, he needs to only mention four for our benefit. Meaning there might be more, but for our benefit there only needs to be mentioned four. The first of them is Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of the time of Nabi Musa. The second is Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Nabi Isa. The third is Sayyida Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And the fourth, Fatima bint Muhammad alayhi salam. We will briefly be looking at the two first, and then in more in depth on the third one. The first two are mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tahrim mentions Sayyida Asiya with these words. And it is interesting that he is referring this to the mu'mineen. He is making an example for the mu'mineen. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah sets forth an example for the believers, the wife of Fir'aun. إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh, when she said, O Lord, build for me a house near you, in your proximity, close to you in paradise. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ. And save me from Fir'aun. وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And from his work. Not only from Fir'aun, and his work, and also save me from the Zalim people, the people who are unjust. It is said that Fir'aun had much love for his wife. This Fir'aun had much love for his wife. And if that person who believes himself to be God, Divine, Almighty. You remember the story when the magicians were told by Fir'aun to throw their ropes, and they did throw them, and they looked like snakes. Then Nabi Musa threw his stick, and it looked like a bigger snake, and it ate the small snakes up, or serpents. At that time, the magicians, knowing that what they had was only illusions, understood that what Nabi Musa had produced was a true miracle. And they believed. Now Fir'aun, in his pride, in his anger, in his arrogance, he tells these magicians that, have you believed in Musa and his Lord before I give you permission? This is his arrogance. How can you believe in something whilst I have not given you permission? And then he threatens to crucify them. Now, if that is the position of those magicians, which he has nothing to do with, then what would be the position when his own wife turns against him? So you can imagine the anger of Fir'aun. Yet he loved her very much and he tried to persuade her to go along with his beliefs. Yet she refused, and then finally he tortured her till death. He tortured her till death. And this was her prayer: O my Lord, build for me an house near you. You see, she could have had it all. This lady could have had it all. She had it all. She was the queen. The queen of Egypt. Egypt was the greatest civilization on earth, as far as progress goes, as far as gold goes, as far as luxuries go. She had the greatest position. Yet she did not stop doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar even to her husband. Many times we have husbands telling their wives, take off your hijab, I like you to be without your hijab. The women then has the possibility to follow the footsteps of Asiya. Because just as she was killed, you won't be killed, but she was killed for her faith and conviction. So that is why one of the ladies that the Prophet says is one of the most perfect ladies in the world, in the history of mankind, is Sayyida Asiya. The second lady Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in Surah Tahrim talking about is Sayyida Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about her, وَمَرْيَمْ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ أَلَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. And Maryam, the daughter of Imran, the daughter of Imran, not the mother of Isa. Mother of Isa comes later. She is the daughter of Imran. Imran, according to the riwayat, was also a prophet himself. She who perfected, she who guarded her chastity, she who perfected her chastity. فَنَفَخْنَا, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reward, فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. And therefore we blew into her of our spirit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made her become the mother of Ruhullah, Isa ibn Maryam, because of her being chaste. In another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةَ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَتَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you over the women of the world for this mission. That is, for this mission to be the mother of Nabi Isa. And then Allah says that as far as Nabi Isa and his mother is concerned, وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً. We made them a sign unto mankind. And if you look at Nabi Maryam, the difficulties she had to go through. Sorry, Sayyida Maryam. The difficulties she had to go through. She was accused, although she had perfected her chastity, she was accused of not doing so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that patience of hers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Nabi Isa to speak as a child to defend his mother. But because she went through those difficulties and she was raised in the temple, Nabi Zakaria raised her in the temple so that she was given the possibility to reach that perfection of ibadah. To reach that perfection of ibadah and to become, of course, then a muttaqi lady, of course. So these are the two ones that Allah speaks about in the Quran. Then we turn to the third one, the wife of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now the first thing we need to look at, the position of women in Arabia. The position of women in Arabia during that time. We know from the Quran, for example, that the Arabs of that time used to bury their female child alive. Today you have people who kill the female child before they are born. We are returning to Jahiliyyah. And sometimes even the male childs. But female childs, especially if you go to areas like China, India, you find that the female childs are being killed while they are still not born. They used to kill the female childs sometimes out of fear of poverty. But the Arabs also had another bad habit, which was they used to war with each other. When they used to indulge in war, the females used to be taken as captives. And one of the things that they were afraid of was that their ladies should not be taken captives, because that would become an insult towards the name of the tribe. So to save the name of the tribe, they used to bury their infants alive. Or to save money. Or if they did keep them, they would treat them as, sometimes even as animals, as property. You would find that they would marry and divorce just like that. There is nothing to worry about. You would find that the Arabs of Arabia, of Jahiliyyah, if the father died, he had several wives, the sons would inherit the wives, except for his biological mother. They used to trade wives. The wives had no value, or the women had no value in the Jahiliyyah. Yet we find that there is one lady, Sayyida Khadija, Salamul Alayha, who becomes the Amira of Quraysh. She becomes the princess of Quraysh. Now many people ask, and it is a good question, that if the Arabs were so mistreating the women, if the Arabs had no respect of the women, how come Sayyida Khadija was able to run her own caravans? How come she was able to own her own property? And that is when we have to understand the tribal mentality of the Arabs. If the tribe allowed the women certain limits of freedom, then that woman had that freedom to use. But if the head of the tribe did not allow it, everything was up to the head of the tribe. The head of the tribe was the one who decided over life and death. So if the head of the tribe was a good man, and he would say that my daughter, for example, should be able to run her own business, then that woman was able to do so. But what we see is that Sayyida Khadija was not able to go on those trips herself. Because only inside her tribe she was safe. But as soon as she would leave it, she was not safe. That is why she had to find agents to go on her trading caravans. She could not go herself. So you find that she came from a family that was noble. A family that would take care of the whole tribe. A family that would not discriminate as the other families would do. And also many people in this family, including Sayyida Khadija herself, were muwahideen and hunafa, meaning they believed in one God. Most Arabs did not believe in one God. But especially from the Isle of Ismail alayhi salam, there were some people who stuck to the truth, who stuck to the faith of Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail, which was the deen, which in Quran is called the deenul hanif, the deen of Ibrahim hanif. Meaning they were hunafa, upright, they were monotheists. They believed in one God. One of them was Sayyida Khadija. She had an upright personality, meaning she was not known to indulge in frivolous activities. She was not known to indulge in those things that we would today describe as vain talk, for example. She was not known to indulge in activities which would call the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was a good woman, a chaste woman. And already before Islam, she was a woman of generosity. She was a generous woman. She used to feed the poor. She used to make sure that young women who did not have means to get married would get married. She used to feed the slaves. She had a generous personality. No wonder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved her for the Holy Prophet. Now we have been talking about taqwa. We have been talking about taqwa. It's totally two different, totally things. Taqwa during the last nights. Let's see if Sayyida Khadija has these qualities. Because we want role models. We have been talking about taqwa. Let's see if she has these qualities. First thing, her belief. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, comes to Sayyida Khadija and tells her that I have seen a vision. I have seen a vision wherein I saw Jibreel. He told me that I am his prophet. You know, normally a wife would say, "You fool. You know, what's wrong with you? Where do you get all these things from?" But Sayyidah Khadija knew the Prophet. She knew the Prophet so well. She says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not do this to you unless it was real. You are a man who are generous to the poor. You are a man who is honest. You keep your blood relations. You make sure that you take care of yourself and those close to you. Allah would not do this to you if it was not real. I believe in you." And she became the first Muslim. The first Muslimah. She was the first one to believe in the message of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. After her, Imam Ali alayhi salam was the second one. You find her prayers, and Maulana Sahib said this earlier, that she was the first one to establish with Imam Ali Jama'at prayers with the Prophet. It is reported that once a man came to Mecca and he saw three people doing a sort of prayer he had not seen before. So he asked the person next to him, which happened to be Abbas ibn Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet, "Who are these people and what are they doing?" So he said, this is my nephew, Muhammad. Allah, who says that he has been given the mission to bring a new religion, who proclaims the unity of God, and he is praying to that God. The ones on his right is his cousin, my other nephew, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the one behind them, the lady behind him, is his wife, Sayyidah Khadija. Allahumma. At this point, there is no one else who believes in their religion. There is no one else who joins their prayers. It is only these three holy personalities which are doing the salah for the sake of Allah. So the status of Sayyidah Khadija when it comes to prayers is that she was amongst the first one to establish the prayers. Her generosity. We said during these days that generosity is one of the marks of taqwa. She gave it all. Even before Islam, she used to feed the poor. Even before Islam, she used to take care of those who could not take care of themselves. But after Islam, it even increased. Now there were so many Muslims, because the early Muslim converts were often slaves or poor people. So she used to give it away, everything. And we'll see later on how she gave away even the last pennies. They had dirham and the dinar then. But in our language, she even gave away the last of her pennies. Her sacrifice. Imagine this, you have the possibility to live a life of luxury. You have the possibility to live the life of luxury, yet for the sake of your convictions, you give it all up. You have given it all away. This is the sacrifice she did for Islam and her motherhood. Not only being the mother of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, but the Quran says that the wives of the Prophet is Ummul Mu'mineen, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. They are mothers of believers. Yesterday we talked about parenthood, about the importance of parents in Islam. And we said that there are spiritual parents of the Ummah. That the fathers of the Ummah are Rasulullah and Amirul Mu'mineen. Allah proclaims that there are mothers of the Ummah as well. There are mothers of the Ummah. And sometimes it has become very easy for Muslims to say, well, every mother of the Ummah is a good person. So we need to look at what is a mother. We read the Risalatul Huquq of Imam Sajjad yesterday, saying that your mother is the one who makes sure you eat while she is hungry. She gives you to drink while she remains thirsty. She gives you clothes while she remains unclothed. She makes sure that you are in the shade while she is in the heat. This is a mother. These are the qualities of a mother. Now if the Ummah Ummul Mu'mineen is living up to these standards, then verily she has deserved the position of Ummul Mu'mineen. And we find it is as if this position of Ummul Mu'mineen was specially made for Khadija. Salamu alayha. If it would not have been for her, which mother of the believers sacrificed all their wealth for Islam? Which mother of the believers took care of the orphans of the Muslims? Which mother of the believer otherwise was out there with the Prophet making sure that each and every poor person of the Ummah had food to eat? The responsibilities of a mother are great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to certain of those, certain people, certain mothers that were not taking these responsibilities in the Quran. He says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَا أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُصِرَّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. He's saying, O my Prophet, tell those of your wives, tell your wives, because some of the wives, you know, when the Prophet started to having more success, meaning that more tribes turned to Islam, and there were more money coming into the Ummah, they started making demands. Ya Rasulullah, now we want more clothes. We want more furniture. We want more jewelry. And this and that. They are demanding things from the Prophet. So the Prophet doesn't know what to say. He distances himself from them. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this. Tell your wives. Because they were even threatening the Prophet. We can find better husbands. Na'udhu billah. Or we can find husbands who will give us these things. So tell your wives that if you want this world, come, I will give you certain gifts and then you will be free. You will be free. You can go and marry whoever you want. But then it continues. The next verse says, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But if you want Allah and His Messenger, وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ and the hereafter, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Then Allah has prepared for the right doers, for the good doers from you. Not all of you. The good doers from you, a good reward, a mighty reward. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, man ya'ti min kunna bifahishatin mubayyinatin. Whoever from amongst you comes with an open indecency, yudha'af laha al-adab. But if you are not good, if you are not doing good, Allah will double the punishment. If you do an open indecency, Allah will double the punishment. Wa kana dhalika ala Allahi yaseer. That is easy for Allah. It is not difficult for Allah to do these things. If you are not living up to the standards, being the mother of believers means that you have certain standards to live up to. It does not mean that a title has been given to you and now you can live on that title. It means that you have certain responsibilities. And by God, the only one we find in the history of Islam living up to that responsibility to the fullest. I'm not saying the other wives did not. But to the fullest was Sayyida Khadija, Salamullah alayha. And there is another incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now warned the wives of the prophets that certain actions you should not do. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Ahlul Bayt says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ لِيُدْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to purify the Ahlul Bayt. So some Muslims believe that this includes all of the wives of the Prophet as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another warning in the Quran. In the surah, same surah Tahreem, he says, ضَرَبَ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ. Wa imra'at Lut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example, not to the mu'mineen this time, to the kafirin. He gives the example to the kafirin, the wives of Nabi Lut and Nabi Nuh. Allah says these two were with two obedient servants of us. They were with two servants of us, yet it did not avail them anything. It did not help them. It did not give them anything to be with our two obedient servants, with two prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that being the wives of prophets does not mean anything. In the same surah, in the beginning, there is the incident of honey. Allah, the Prophet of Allah, as you know, had several wives. One of them once made or used to make a drink of honey to the Prophet. And a couple of the wives of the Prophet were jealous of this. So they agreed that we will tell the Prophet that there is a bad smell coming from your mouth. So the Prophet went to the first one of them and she said, "What is that bad smell coming from your mouth?" So he said, "I haven't eaten anything bad." The Prophet was very sensitive. He used to refrain from eating things like onion and garlic because he always had to interact with people and he wanted to be presentable. You see, sometimes you find people, they'll come and they don't even take showers, and there's a Allahu Alam, what kind of smells are coming from them, and they say, "Oh, we are living a simple life." No, look at the Prophet. He lived a simple life, yet he tried to do his best when he presented himself to the people. It is very important. There is a hadith from the Prophet saying, "An-nadhafatu minan iman." Cleanliness is from religion. It is from faith. So, inshallah, we should follow this example. Then the Prophet goes to the second wife who says the same thing, that there is a bad odor coming from your mouth. So the Prophet then says that I will not drink this honey drink anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet that why are you forbidding yourself of that which Allah has made halal? It is okay for you. And then another time the Prophet gives a secret to one of these wives and she reveals it to the second one. When Allah reveals this to the Prophet that these two have been telling each other these secrets, he goes and confronts the first wife, saying, "Why did you reveal my secret?" She says, "Who told you this?" Now, this is Allah's Prophet. Who else would tell him? But Allah says that Allah told me. Now, what is important here is not who the wives were. We're not interested in who these wives were. What is important here is that these wives had certain actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing them for. Therefore, it does not make a difference of the masculine pronoun or the feminine pronoun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing two of the wives, meaning we cannot take these wives to be included in the Ahlul Bayt from Allah who has removed all kind of impurities. Salawat. By that means, the only wife that can be included in this group, if any, is Sayyida Khadija, because she was the only wife of the Prophet for so many years. But as soon as there are two, we have a problem. As soon as there are two, we have a problem. We don't need to know the names, but we know that they are not included in this Ahlul Bayt. Of course, the hadith are very clear. Even when one of the wives of the Prophet is asking, when the Prophet has collected these five, or these four with him and him being the fifth, that, "Can I come and join you?" He says, "You are on your good, but these are my Ahlul Bayt. There can be no one else with us." Recite a salawat. The position of Sayyida Khadija in the eyes of the Prophet. It is mentioned that the Prophet always used to remember Khadija. He never forgot. Even after her death, he never forgot Khadija salamun alayha. He always used to. In certain hadith, it says that whenever he left the house, he would mention Sayyida Khadija. Whenever he left the house, he would mention her. And you could see that because of this, there were jealousy in some of the wives of the Prophet. The Prophet, for example, whenever he used to sacrifice a sheep or a goat, he used to send some of the meat to relatives and friends of Sayyida Khadija. And one of the wives asked the Prophet that, "Why do you keep on doing this?" And he said, "I love whoever Khadija used to love." Mind you, the Prophet would not love anyone except for the sake of Allah. Meaning that Khadija would not love anyone except for the sake of Allah. Because the Prophet loves whoever Sayyida Khadija loves. This was the greatness, the status, the position of Sayyida Khadija in the eyes of the Prophet. So much the Prophet loved her. And it continued even until the end. The Prophet would always mention Khadija. One day one of the wives of the Prophet says that, "When will you stop mentioning that old lady?" The jealousy in the hearts of certain people. When will you stop mentioning that old lady? Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you younger and more beautiful wives. But this is the messenger of Allah. He is not looking at the physical beauty of people. Even though Khadija at the time, according to some riwayat, was 40 years old when the Prophet married her. meaning that she was over 50 years old when she, or more than 60 years old when she died. The Prophet always remembered her for her heart, what is in here. And that is when the Prophet says, she believed in me when no one else believed in me. She helped me when no one else helped me. And Allah gave me children through her only. Allah gave me children through her only. In the seventh year, after the Prophet had been given the message to proclaim Islam, the people of Makkah had tried to make the Prophet stop spreading this message by all means. They tried everything. They tried to persuade, they tried to torture the weaker Muslims. Some of the Muslims even had to flee Makkah. But they could not avail. They went to Abu Talib and they said, tell your nephew to stop. We will give him the kingdom of Makkah. We will give him the kingdom of Makkah. So Abu Talib goes and says that they are ready to give you the kingdom, because he had to consult with the Prophet. They are ready to give you the kingdom of Makkah, the rulership of Makkah. They said, worship your Lord one day, worship our gods one day. But the Prophet says, even if they were to give the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I would not stop saying La ilaha illallah. The conviction of the Prophet in his own message. So they are planning, they are discussing, what should we do, how can we go about. Remember what we said about the tribe. Bani Hashim would not leave the Prophet unprotected. They would not leave the Prophet unprotected. And the people, the other tribes, could not attack Bani Hashim because there would be a single tribe could not attack him because there was a fear of internal warfare. Finally, they all get together, the other tribes, and they say what we should do is we should boycott Bani Hashim. Because Abu Talib has his wings over the Prophet. If we boycott Bani Hashim, they will not be able to survive. Everyone will be against Bani Hashim. So they sign a treaty. They sign a treaty, writing Bismika Allahumma. They start with Bismika Allahumma, which was the way they used to start their letters or their documents. In the name of your name, O Lord. In your name, O Lord. And then they wrote the conditions of this understanding that they had and put it inside the Kaaba. When Abu Talib found out, he realized it is not safe for Bani Hashim to be here, because now all the tribes have basically proclaimed war against Bani Hashim. So Bani Hashim left outside Makkah. They stayed outside Makkah. Now they could not go in and trade. They could not go in and buy food. Because in the desert nothing grows. Nothing grows in the desert. So they could not do. Now, according to the religion of Ibrahim, from the time of Nabi Ibrahim, there are 4 months in Islam which are holy. Rajab, which is the month of Umrah. Dhil Hajj, which is the month of Hajj. And before that, Dhil Qa'dah and Muharram, because that is when you go to Hajj and you return from Hajj. Those months are holy, meaning you cannot do warfare during those months. And during these months, the wealth of Sayyida Khadija came to its utmost use, because they used to go in and trade with people during these times. These was the only times they had the possibility to trade. But people would not sell to them easily, because they knew these people are in need. And so, by all that Sayyida Khadija had, everything was used up during these days. Everything was used up during these days. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Prophet that the treaty they had signed has been eaten up by ants or termites. And only this word, Allahumma, remains. So the Prophet sends Abu Talib to go and tell the Quraysh this. The Quraysh goes to see the document, and they see that this is true. And just like that, they give up these hopes they had, because they see that there is something there. Now, of course, that did not convince them, because they were too much in love with their positions, with their power. But for that time, that siege of Bani Hashim was lifted. However, those 3 years took its toll. That is the year that Abu Talib died. And that is also the year that Sayyida Khadija was to die. She got extremely sick during those days. She got extremely sick during those days. And the Prophet used to take care of her, attend to her, and caress her and, you know, make sure that she is well off. But he always used to feel this, that this my wife has given everything for Islam, yet there is nothing I can give for her today. It is narrated that Sayyida Khadija once was crying during these last days. And when she was asked why you are crying, she said that when a young girl gets married, it is customary for her mother to be with her on the last night, to console her, to be with her, to give her certain advice. What will happen to Fatima after me? Yet I ask Khadija, did you know you are waiting for the day your daughter will become a grown up and get married? Did you know that she would have to become a mother for her father after you? Because after you, the Rasulullah has no one else to take care of him. The Prophet did not even have a kafan to put on Khadija's body. So he took his own clothes and put it on her as a kafan. He went into the grave. When he was burying Khadija, he went into the grave to bless the grave. And then he went out and put her in the grave. It is reported that Fatima al-Zahra came to the Prophet asking, where is my mother? A small child. Ya Abata, where is my mother? I miss my mother. Where is my mother? The Prophet does not know, what can I tell this small child? Where is her mother? And finally Jibreel comes and tell Fatima that Khadija is in paradise and she has been given a beautiful house and a garden. When Fatima hears this message from Allah, she says a dua, O Allah, you are peace, from you is peace, and to you shall peace return. But I will say, O Fatima, at least you had your father. At least you had your father to turn to. Look at the daughter of Imam Hussein when Imam Hussein is leaving. Ask the heart of that young daughter of Imam Hussein what is going through her heart at that point when she is saying her farewell to her father for the last time. Ask her heart. It is narrated that on that night when Imam Hussein had given his life and his body was lying headless on the sands, on the plains of Karbala, that daughter is looking for her father. She is saying, where are you, my father? She is running on the plains looking for her father. How can she find her father's body when there is no head on the body? How can she recognize her father's body when there are no clothes on the body? Yet she is running back and forth until a voice comes, Ilayya, Ilayya, Ya Bunayya, come to me, my dear child. She finds the body and she falls on the body. And over there she reports, I heard my father saying, Shi'atima, im sharibtum ma'in adbin aw fadhkuruni aw sami'tum bi gharibin aw shahidin fandabuni. When you drink cold water, my Shi'as, whenever you drink cold water, remember my thirst. Whenever you hear of someone being a stranger, remember me, remember your Imam. This daughter of Imam Hussein then had to go through the streets of Kufa and Sham until when one night she sees her father in her dream. She sees her father in her dream saying, come to me, my daughter. Come to me, my daughter. So she wakes up from her dream and saying, where is my father? I had my father. He was just here right now. Where is my father? She is asking, where is my father? Until the cries of her cries reaches Yazid. He is asking, who is crying? What is happening? And they say the daughter of Imam Hussein is longing for her father. So he says, send to her the head of Imam al-Hussein. Send to her the head of Imam al-Hussein. So when they come with the head, she lifts the head and she looks at the head and she starts asking, who has severed your head, my father? Who has done this to you? And she starts crying and crying until she becomes unconscious. Finally, Imam Sajjad goes and sees at this point the soul of this young girl has left and she has been reunited with her father. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. بحق فاطمة وأبيها وبأليها وبنيها. Wallah, we ask you for the sake of this night and for the sake of these nights that are passing by. Wallah, forgive us for our sins. Wallah, accept our dua. Wallah, whatever we have been able to offer during these days, accept it from us. Wallah, what we have not been able to offer, forgive us for that. Give us the tawfiq to do more. One third of this holy month has passed. Oh Allah, whatever there is remaining of our sins, please Allah forgive us for that. On the night of Qadr, write for us Hajj to your house this year and every year, and write for us the ziyarah of your holy prophet and the a'immah. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of the imam and join us with his in his closest associates. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen wa ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahireen.